Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've eaten into most of our question time, unfortunately, but I hope that you will agree that it was worthwhile to hear from these four gentlemen some detail about what they will be proposing and what the inquiry might mean for us. The only thing standing between us and a drink at the moment is my decision at the moment about how many questions I allow. So we've probably got time just for one or at most two texts if anyone has put something through. And so I'll just keep the discussion on those to 4 minutes, and then I promise you'll all be out for a drink, because it's just been a fantastic opportunity to hear from the people who will be really driving those submissions to the inquiry. So I guess, Stephen, I might start with you, and we're just going to have two questions, but for you, with the various international regulations, Barnaby, do you think that Australia is actually losing real control over our own ability to legislate in regard to banking, and that it may become a moot point what Australia does or doesn't think about banking?
Yes.
Great.
Would you like me to elaborate?
Sorry, then we can...
Very, very briefly. Look, even before the GFC, it was clear that as the financial system globalised, rulemaking was globalising. That's accelerated enormously with the GFC. And it's a very real challenge for Australia. More and more the rules for the financial system, particularly for banking, are going to be set in European or US cities. And, you know, how do we make sure that Australia's particular circumstances get taken into account? I think the regulators have done a pretty good job to date and influencing that, but that is absolutely a challenge going forward.
Great, thank you. Ian, are the big four too big to fail?
I'd actually prefer to answer the other question.
Yeah, you can.
You can just say no.
But that gave you a quick yes or no. So
let me answer the other question. Yeah. I think it's much more specific.
Yeah.
Which is...
this one says, Ian, did you get the carrots? Your wife.
No. If the prudential system has served Australia so well in recent years relative to other markets, why do I think that the Murray Inquiry will come up with something as dramatic as Wallace or Campbell, and in what areas? That's a very perceptive question. Let me tell you why I think it's possible. The whole intellectual milieu, the whole way of thinking about financial markets has basically changed. Right? It's partly to do with behavioural economics. It's partly to do with statements coming out of Bank of England, that when you do the calculations about financial instability, you quickly realise that episodes of financial instability are worth a whole lot more in present value terms than a bunch of inefficiency losses over here. Right? The whole tenor of regulatory intervention and the benefit-cost ratio of that relative to innovation and competition has changed. That's my concern, that David Murray in the inquiry will find it all too easy to set to one side the potential benefits of innovation and competition because of the way we now think about the costs of financial instability. And I can say that with my other hat on, that productivity growth in this country demands that we have more competition and more innovation, and the financial system is a core part of that.
Do you know what's interesting? Is in any consumer research we do, when we ask the question, do you think the financial services industry, all of us, is well regulated, and do you think it should be further regulated? No and yes. I mean, there is no limit to the public expectation and willingness to regulate the industry.
Yeah. But which John, I think, is correct, and that is why it's up to, well, bluntly, that's why the other inquiry, you know, has got to make the case for the importance of competition, innovation, productivity. That's what drives living standards. You can't regulate yourself to a first world living standard. What you can do is regulate away instability, and no one wants the banking system to go. I mean, that's obvious, right? There's a trade-off here. Look, I think that that David and the others understand this all too well. That's not my concern that they don't understand this. My concern is that against the weight of what you've just described and the intellectual opinion pushing in the other direction, that's why potentially Murray could come up with something totally different from Wallace and Campbell, because the intellectual ground has shifted from under him.
And John, if you were a betting man, would you say that superannuation is likely to be potentially the big surprising area for the focus?
Yeah, for a little while, whenever we spoke to the people in the, you know, the staff and the inquiry, it was superannuation is the biggest thing, biggest change. It was, yep. And what? And the what is the allocative efficiency argument, effectively, and then it flows into mandating investments and the like. We would not like it, and this will sound shockingly defensive, but it isn't. We don't want it to fall into a debate about fees and my super all over again. We've been through that. That would be going to the minutiae of the system rather than dealing with the role of superannuation. I find it hard to imagine, to Ian's point about why the hell is superannuation being looked after by a prudential regulator, I find it hard to imagine that we aren't going to have a debate in the next 5 years about capital, serious capital requirements for superannuation funds. I just don't think we can avoid that. I don't know whether it's a good idea or not, but I think that could be a big change. Now, once you're then saying to particularly industry superannuation funds, go and find X percent or X billion dollars capital, changes the game completely.
And the irony, John, is that when that happens, I think there's a real chance of that, right? You want to see why returns would be cut down.
Correct.
There's the obvious source of why returns would be cut down. All
Correct.
The things people lament
Correct.
About not being able to fund your return, all that follows.
Yeah.
So, I mean, excuse me? Why would you think about this?
Yeah.
But to reinvent the 30-20 rule,
yes.
You see, it's everything old is new again. Why would Wallace and go, yeah, sure, because the way we think about these things is different. What we used to call quantitative lending guidance, right, when I was teaching banking, is now called macroprudential regulation.
Yeah. I was wondering whether I still have those 1979 clothes. Everything old is new again.
Everything old is new again. Look, gentlemen, we've got some fantastic questions here, but we're not going to be able to address them. So hopefully you guys will be able to hang around for a drink with us afterwards, and I'm sure you'll be swamped by people wanting to discuss them with you. And last but not least, we've had a fantastic array of very senior people making important submissions to what could be a total groundbreaker. It only happens every 37 years. I just updated my average include my fourth data point. So if you could give a warm round of applause. Thanks.